TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken
record. Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 103, and I am Libya, your host, and we have returning guests.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Tom from Glendale.
Marcia from the Valley.
And Allison from Tarzana.
And this week in the news, I have that Adam Baldwin will be guest starring on Castle.
Yay.
And the big scoop from the Paley Fest is that his name will be Sergeant Slaughter. Or no, Detective Slaughter.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah, I think that's pretty amusing. And Nathan was saying how great it was to be reunited with his old buddy. So he was really excited about that. Next thing is that Ben Browder will be guest starring on Doctor Who in their Western episode. I was trying to figure out, why are they having an American on a British show? But okay.
I love that they're filming the Western episode like in Spain or something.
Of course, because that's where all the Spanish, that's where the original Westerns were shot.
Well, spaghetti Westerns.
The spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah, they were shot there.
They're not the original Westerns.
But those were actually
filmed where my house stands now.
Okay. And the next little bit of news I have from the Paley is that Bones has been picked up for 2 more seasons.
Wow.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Well, it has great ratings. I mean, I'm not saying the show is brilliant, but it has great ratings.
That's interesting.
All right. Any other news?
Requiescat in pace. That's rest in peace in Latin for Terra Nova. Bye-bye.
And who is surprised?
Raise
Anyone? Anyone?
But I thought I heard dealer? That there was a possibility that some, like, TNT was going to take it. I knew Fox, it was over.
No. What it was Fox wasn't sure they were going to cancel it, depending on how some of their other shows did. But their other shows, I guess, that are much cheaper did well enough you know.
Pretty much anything.
Anything was better. But
the way they put it was they're shopping around. Which means kiss of death, because shopping around, unless it's really fantastic, it means nothing.
And it
nothing.
Costs way too much.
Entertainment Weekly had a really interesting postmortem basically saying, you know, the bad effects, the bad acting, the bad writing. It's like, come on, seriously?
Well, a show that we all like, you know, NBC did Southland and does, so that got picked up.
But that show was good.
It
didn't cost as much as Terra Nova did, so there's just no chance this is going to
be
picked
up. It shoots in Australia, and it just, like, it's really expensive.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Justified's gotten picked up for season 4.
Yay! Okay. All right. That is good news.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right. First up, we're going to talk Once Upon a Time. And we're going to actually try something brand new on this podcast. We got some audio feedback from one of our listeners named Brian. And we're going to play that for you right now. And we're going to, after we play it, we're going to jump in and give our comments on the show and comments on what he said.
I really like the show. Yes, they haven't really moved the arc along. And in this episode, there was nothing about the stranger. And actually, Henry wasn't even the episode at all that I can recall. But I still like the stories, and I try to remember, like, Fringe, the first season. I don't even remember if there was an arc. I even knew there was an arc at the time. So I'm pretty happy with every episode being its own episode about the characters, and hopefully the second season will, you know, expand on that arc. Emma actually mentions and uses her superpower to tell whether someone's telling the truth or not, but she never seems to be able to do that with the mayor, perhaps because she's the witch. But as noted earlier in a previous episode, Sydney was obviously lying to her and she couldn't tell. In this episode, I think Sydney was lying to her again and still she couldn't tell, perhaps because Sydney's a genie. So maybe it wasn't as much of an oversight as we thought in the previous episode. They could actually play that this was intentional and there was a reason. Well, anyway, I kind of wish there was a bigger arc and hopefully they will do something about it in the second season. But I'm kind of enjoying them right now, and I'm also looking forward to the next episode where we'll finally learn Red's backstory, which is kind of funny since she's appeared so many times in Storybrooke and in Fairy Tale Land a few different times.
And now we're back. What do you guys think?
I thought he had some really cogent points. In fact, many of the same ones we've been making for a while.
Well, I like the thing about how, because my main complaint was Emma. I was like, Emma has a cool superpower and she never uses it. And then
never.
I know, and I was just like, and
until
this
it's convenient for the plot,
exactly. But I do like this week's episode. She doubts herself. She's not sure if the person's lying to her or if her ability isn't working. So she has to assume based. So she has to, instead of going on her instincts and going on what her ability tells her, she has to then just look at the evidence. But the evidence is obviously setting this guy up, who she doesn't want to believe is guilty. So
I call this episode "How Grumpy Got His Groove On."
Groove on or groove back?
Groove on.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it was sweet. You know, he was kind of, you know, hatched from an egg and everything, but I really...
Fully dressed
with a beard down to his ankles.
No, and in clothing.
In clothing.
I could take everything.
I could have taken
the
beard, but fully dressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can I just say that I've always liked Amy Acker, but especially as the fairy, she looked amazing.
She was so sweet, but I actually liked the fact that she was like the clumsy fairy.
The clumsy fairy.
So that was pretty funny. But what is it with guys in this storybook that just lie to their women? Just like left and right. What is the deal? Like, why would... I don't know what kind of lesson that's teaching Miss Disney.
You can't trust men.
What is the lesson here?
Moral of the fairy tale, you can't trust
After
men.
Years of wait for your prince to save you, it's like, you can't trust anything a man says.
Don't turn your back on him, girls.
Oh, I like the comedy. He's like, oh, you think I'm going to jump off the roof? Like, no.
I'm not suicide-y.
Yes, exactly. So that was all pretty good.
Going back to Amy Acker, I thought her outfit was adorable. She's a fairy jellyfish costume. I mean, the whole thing was absolutely adorable.
The thing with Once Upon a Time with Me, though, is that I still feel like we're getting nowhere. It's just, we're sitting around and we're treading water and we're still staying in one place. And yeah, you know, the episode had its cute moments and things were sweet and all of that. But I still feel like, you know, we're really kind of just not getting anywhere. And frankly, the whole Snow White Prince Charming thing is the least interesting part of this show for me.
Yes.
And every time we go back to these characters, I just go, oh, please, can we concentrate on somebody else?
Again, you know, they got to get better. Otherwise, I'm giving up on this show. If nobody
can actually get in or out of this town, I'd like to know how they function. How do they get food? Or water or electricity.
See, now you're thinking.
Seriously, how does anything work?
And your darned logic.
I was like,
shame
you're thinking
you.
Too deep. Too deep. All right. Let's move on. Next up, we want to talk about Walking Dead.
Woo!
Peter is moving forward. Okay,
are you
go
caught
ahead.
Up?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
No, I'm totally caught up, and because I always watch Walking Dead the day after, because I have to watch it on iTunes, I'm always anxious to hear if they've killed Shane, and so...
Not yet.
Right, not yet. And so I had seen... I go to IGN, and I had seen that they only gave this episode like a 6.5.
Are you serious?
And I was like, it's not going to be that good. But actually, I really liked this episode.
Hell yeah, it was a very good one.
I thought it was a pretty good episode.
I thought the twist,
you know,
at the end
that was great.
Was,
you know,
brilliant.
And fortunately for me, I had misunderstood something, but wait, there's Dale.
Right.
Who's the guy that hit with the racist
Daryl. Problem?
Yes,
that's
I got the
Daryl.
Two names confused. Yeah,
that's
so
Daryl.
I had heard,
very,
you know,
different
Dale
characters.
Gets killed, and I was thinking it was the racist guy. I was like,
no,
so they're
are you
going to kill him off?
He's like the sex symbol.
And I was like,
show.
Well, he can't kill the old
is he?
Man.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Women are crazy for him.
I was very surprised,
I
too. He was like the last person I thought that they would get rid of that soon.
Especially because
in the
comics.
I was just looking at the TV and going, no!
In the comic book, which is approaching issue 100, he's still alive.
Yeah, he's one of the main characters, so I could not believe they killed him. And I was, in fact, even when they ripped his guts out, I was like, maybe he's still going to survive? Because Rick says something like, get Herschel.
Get Herschel.
I was like, I don't know how this is going to work out. You know, I was like,
I don't think so.
But no, I thought that was good. And of course, this is all the kids' fault.
That's what I was going to say. You were forgetting about Carl.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I think it's really
know?
Interesting that on some of the message boards online, people are just hating on the kid. It's
I don't hate. I don't hate Carl. I think that
Carl annoys me. I don't hate him.
No, he doesn't annoy me either. What I think is really interesting is what they're trying to show is he's at a really developmental age.
He is at a developmental age.
He's like he's 10. Not even in,
is he first or second grade then?
No, he's older than
he's
that.
He's supposed to be like 9,
10. Oh, okay. He's 9 or 10. And so he's really at the place where his morality is being, you know, developed and things like that. And what he's seeing around him is everybody dying, everybody being killed, life means nothing, and that the best killer is the one who survives. That's what he's seeing. And so he's trying to become that.
Well, he's trying to figure out his place in the world.
Right.
The obvious choice is he's becoming his dad, but he's got this.
But he's
other,
not. He's darker than his dad.
Right.
He's got this like, other paternal influence, which is so. It's like this tug of war between these two father figures.
Well, I don't even know if it's because Shane wouldn't sit around and play with a zombie. So that was just weird. Like
that just made me crazy. I mean, I'm sorry, but you just don't throw rocks at
a zombie. But kids do.
That's true.
Well, it depends on where they come from, because again, I want to throw out, I was raised in New York, and kids were taught there certain things so that they wouldn't get kidnapped, so, you know, a lot of stuff.
Well,
no kid from, maybe it's because they're coming from the South, but no kid from a major metropolitan area would be doing that. They would be hiding with the rest of the adults. I mean, where's the mother in all this?
You don't do something that you know is going to get you killed.
That's it. And where's the mother in all this?
We know she's jacked up.
Well, but it wasn't like she wasn't watching him, he snuck off. He very deliberately snuck off.
What happened to the, if you don't do what I tell you, we're going to let a zombie eat you? I mean, come on. I grew up when they're going to sell you to the gypsies. Okay? Come on.
But, I mean,
there's nobody
to
do that anymore.
Literally growing up in the zombie apocalypse. Zombies are real threats.
Yeah.
He has been attacked by them, surrounded by them.
Right. Yeah. I think
he should know better than to just
throw. He was trying to test
himself.
His courage. That's the point.
He's trying
to
test his courage.
Right. Yeah,
but and as a kid, of course it would be rocks. Like I had no problem with that. My bigger issue is more that in the comic, because it's my own version, because I'm reading it, Carl always goes between doing things that are way darker than you think a child would do, and then suddenly having these moments where he kind of like breaks down and cries. So at the end, when he gets completely upset because he realizes this is all his fault, I totally bought that. What I didn't buy was when Rick is basically going to kill, I forgot what that guy is.
Randall.
Randall.
And then the kid is just like, do it, Dad. And I was like, I don't know if I buy that. So I was like, that seems a little hammy. Like, that's the stuff where if the character kind of seems antagonistic just for the purpose of the script.
I thought sociopath. Like,
Yeah, and that's the thing.
What kind of kids torture animals? Future serial killers.
Did he torture?
We tortured a zombie.
I'm not torturing zombies.
That's kind of on the same level.
That's true.
So, but
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
And I think that's why Rick is worried.
Oh, and he should be.
Yeah.
He should be. With right.
Yeah, but so I thought this episode was thumbs up.
Good
it was
episode.
Really good episode.
Yeah, totally
well,
good.
If you think that there's a chance that the kid might be a sociopath, even though he cried, because sociopaths can take on all of the acting they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what in the
acting,
next...
Though.
I don't
think
he's acting.
Then he's not going to become a sociopath. Then we don't worry about him, you know.
He's basically testing what he is. That's what I think is interesting.
Because he's unsure.
Right.
Let's just talk about Randall. How stupid could you be if you think people are going to kill you? You're going to talk about how you and your buddies went and found some people and raped the women. Oh, but I didn't do it. Why did you tell them that at all?
I would have picked a different story.
Yes, seriously. I'm like, you're an idiot. You deserve
this
to be
This is the time we saved bunnies. We're good people.
He's like,
yeah.
We only got two more episodes left and it looks in the trailer. It looks like they're on a road trip or something.
Well, because it looks like Randall escapes.
Oh, that's right. Right.
So that's where the road trip is to catch him. So, yeah, that's going to be interesting, and that's not going to end well. But
good. Thumbs up.
Yeah. Wrapping that up. Next up, we want to talk about Alcatraz. And
y'all are still watching that?
Nice comic.
You know, actually, I like Alcatraz for what it... I did not like this week that much, partly because it was a two-hour
episodes.
It was two episodes. But I actually enjoy Alcatraz. Like, I like Jorge Garcia. I like the, you know, can we trust Sam Neill? Like, it's a little silly, but I like it. I think my problem with this week's episode was it's 2 hours, and both episodes spent way too much time with the prisoners. I think the prisoners are better when we find out what they did and what their crime was. And they're kind of in the background and they're trying to kill people. When you get them talking too much and giving them a maniacal smile, I really check out. And both episodes for these were both goofy bad guys. I was like, oh, come on. Like, and so that's why. But I liked the show overall. I just didn't think this week.
Are they moving the arc story forward?
A little bit. Yeah.
That's what I liked about this was that it gave you more of who's behind it. And a little more of, you know, how it's being financed and what's going on.
Well, yeah, that's true. It really feels like, from what we can tell, the warden is pretty much the mastermind.
Yeah, that's what it seems.
Yeah, and for some reason, the blood of the main chick's grandfather, I don't remember what his name is.
Right, it's like a super
they've been draining his blood, like they're always taking his blood, and there's something in his blood that allows, either it allows them to adjust that, or there's something in it that basically it allows people to not only... Like, it appears like maybe stay young, but it also makes them heal really fast.
Right, and of course he wants to help the woman who's in a coma.
Right.
But wait, what was
Sam Neill does.
The main character, the guy they, remember, because he's like, don't kill him, but then his blood didn't work.
Right, because they found out that he hadn't been dosed with the blood.
Oh, that's right, that's what it is, right.
Yeah, okay. So, but that was all pretty good, because it was great, because Sam Neill is like, okay, this week, from now on, we're not going to kill anybody, we're just going to capture no kill. And then Jorge was like, does he know he's the one that always kills people?
Yeah, he's the one who's always shooting people. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah. I still like J.J. Abrams' shows. I still love that they, you know, I like how in Lost would always use the sound of the plane is your, that's how you cut. And here it's the bars. Like, I like that production quality of Abrams' shows. But I mean, I don't think it's great or anything. So no, Tom, I wouldn't say like, oh, you're really missing out. This is one of the, you know, this is Game of Thrones 2. No, it's not. But I enjoy it. I mean, you know.
Marcia,
you know.
You had a comment?
Well, I actually have two. One, when you were talking about the blood, I was going to throw in there. Oh, tell me that there's not a crack in the earth and there's some kind of red thing.
Let's not go there.
But I will say that Fox is trying to push, because I got an invitation for doing press at WonderCon for Alcatraz and Fringe. They're going to do panels there on Sunday. And so they're still pushing and they're still trying to get eyeballs.
It's good to know they're pushing Fringe, definitely.
Yeah, because there's very little television going on at WonderCon. It's, oh my God, it's like an old Comic-Con from what I've been told. But
crazy talk.
But, you know, I it'd be interesting if any of our listeners want to post questions for us to ask them about this, because... Yeah. There may not be another chance to ask any questions.
for Alcatraz.
It's just something I'm going to throw out there.
Okay, that's good. Next, we want to talk about Being Human UK, and I did not watch it again this week. I know.
I thought you liked the show.
I do, but...
She keeps forgetting.
My TiVo actually recorded it.
TiVo forgot the first week, and then the second time she...
You like the UK version, not the American
US.
Yes. But the UK is the one that people are talking about right
now.
Yeah.
It's just, I literally, you know my distraction that is this week.
No, that's true.
There is a video game that is out that I have
taken up all my time.
Taking up all my time.
Bed at 4 a.m.
Mass Effect 3.
Allison, what did you think of the second episode of season 4?
Well, I gotta say, I've loved the British version of Being Human for such a long time. And what I'm seeing now, it just feels like a completely different show.
I think it is.
It's just kind of lost me. I mean, you know, I'm still watching it. I'm still tuning in. I'm hoping maybe, you know, it turns around and becomes, you know, better. But right now it just feels like I'm watching a whole new show that just has the same title. One character that I remember from before.
I think we need to give them time, because the first two episodes basically function as
transition
to set up the new situation.
Right. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's not so much that, you know, that we have new characters. It's that it feels like the whole premise of the show has just completely shifted. You know, it's not this drama about three people, you know, who have these supernatural issues, who are trying to live as human beings and be as normal as possible and blend in with the rest of society, you know, and, you know, reconnect with their humanity. It's now become this weird thing about the apocalypse, you know, and trying to prevent it from happening, and
or trying to hasten it.
This whole strange thing about, you know, babies with prophecies, and it just feels like I just walked into a whole new show, and with a whole new premise, and I'm not going with it. It doesn't feel right.
On the surface, it's still the same premise. It's a ghost, a vampire, and a werewolf. It's a different vampire and a werewolf than we've been used to.
Yeah, but the point of it seems to have changed. It's like the thrust behind it, what's important about the show, no longer seems to be that basic thing about the characters and their interaction. Now it's all about, oh, trying to prevent the apocalypse.
Well,
and that was not something that the original show was anywhere near about. And
well, they always they always had like an overall plot as far as it's more of a class versus a class. It's the vampires versus the werewolves versus whatever. Yeah. And the ghosts have a super duper plot to kill somebody. So it's usually each individual class teaming up against them, and then the three guys in the group have to figure out a way to stop them. So that's always, there has been always a bigger plot.
Always, you know, I mean, there's bad guys who they have to face, sure. But that never seemed like the dominant thing that moved the show. What felt like the dominant part of the show were the characters themselves.
See,
to have actually shifted. Right. The balance of the show seems to have
shifted. Hold up, Allison. Tom has some comments.
What I think is kind of interesting, we've known Tom before, so he's not a completely new character.
Right.
And they were wise to transition him in. I think Hal, the new vampire, is kind of the free radical. And what's interesting is, aside from the normal vampire-werewolf antipathy, Hal and Tom just don't like each other to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the rules, the older black werewolf,
right,
gives basically directions. Leo gives directions. And one of them is keep him away from people. And they're like, what kind of people? It's basically all people. So it's kind of interesting that they've gone completely a different direction. Whereas Mitchell was very charismatic and charming and people loved him, Hal is very reclusive and people don't like him. And the thing with the dominoes is cool. He builds up a chain of dominoes in a spiral. And what Leo had taught him is build them up and then take them apart and resist. If you can resist small urges, then that will help you resist larger urges.
So resist knocking them down.
Right. So of course, after Leo's dead and Hal's losing it, he knocks the dominoes down and he's going to kill the guy in the jewelry shop who was mean to them earlier in the episode. Mm. And Annie and Tom come and stop him. And then what's kind of interesting is afterwards, one of the vampire, there's a struggle for power in the vampire
world. There always is a struggle for power in the vampire world. Yeah.
So the guy who's vying for head goes back and kills the shop owner because Hal evidently has this history that we haven't been made privy to now.
So, I mean,
but
yeah.
See, in that way, he's almost like, you know, kind of a bargain bin Mitchell, because Mitchell did the same thing whenever he felt like he needed to act out because he had rage things. You know,
he would kill people.
He would go out and kill people.
All right, his ability
to control himself just went out the window, and it's like, I need to kill somebody now.
All right, we're good.
You know,
I'll be interested to see how, when we start getting in more normal episodes, to see how they integrate the new cast.
Yeah, and we're wrapping this one up. Okay. Next up, let's talk about Justified.
Woo-wee.
Justified.
Gary, Gary, Gary. We shan't miss you.
Well, it was so funny because Peter was trying to talk to me about the episode and he was like, and they kill somebody. And I was like, who got killed in this episode? Like, I totally did not remember
because
him.
Because you don't care.
Exactly.
He was a little evil.
But it was just like, I totally forgot about him. I forgot he actually set this whole episode off. And I did think it was a good episode because they did a really good job with the tension. The tension really built up to where I was just like, oh my God, is Raylan going to be on the run? Like, what's going to happen? You know, I really didn't know. And I thought that was great. And I for a moment, I thought what was going to end up happening, it was going to be Raylan and Boyd on the run together.
No.
That would have been awesome.
Now, I liked how they're putting on one level of
criminal?
Criminal activity on top of another level of criminal activity that they're blaming Raylan for, and then another level.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
And then another level, and then the FBI comes in, and then there's that little pissing contest going on between the Marshall Department and the FBI, between the supervisors, And the FBI guy is just so, oh my god, and the Marshall guy just lives screwing with his head. He's doing to him what Raylan does to him. and the comment at the end, you know, you're going to give me a heart attack. You know, he may not make it to retirement based on what Raylan does to him.
What's the sharpshooter's name?
I don't remember his name. Yeah, he's the other Marshall that's always helping Raylan.
I'm going to take you down to the basement. What are you doing?
I took you down to the basement. And the doors to the elevator close. It was just so neat to see how much they try to layer crap on him, and that something should have stuck when Raylan threw the bullet. At the bad guys. And I'm watching that at the previous episode, and I go, what kind of a schmuck are you that you're throwing a bullet at him with your fingerprint on it?
I didn't think about that at the time
it happened, because I'm thinking, what kind of... Now we know. Because here he is, he's taking it from something he read, and that he just thought it was so cool, and the other guy's like, you know what, that was really cool, stupid. That was cool. You know, that's a man thing, what they did.
Love when the is it the fan or is it the local police guy says, that's just about the coolest thing
ever. It was a local guy. Yeah. Peter, you've been very quiet.
You know, I love Justified, but I actually didn't really love this episode, because, and all the things you're saying, I love that guy who's been in everything, Groundhog Day, who's the head of the FBI.
Stephen Tobolowsky.
Yeah, and he's going against Arch, the head of Arch. All that stuff's great, and I love the... Yeah, I'm dropping all that. All the little character moments, of course. I love all that. But I didn't find the episode that engaging, because I never really thought Raylan was really in peril. And also, I kind of felt like... This felt like the kind of episode where you need to prove that... Because in the previous episode... Raylan kind of messes up
Quarles
by saying, you got to leave this house. And everything. And basically this episode is to show that Quarles can really mess up Raylan and Boyd's life. Except that Neil McDonough is so... Is it McDonough?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's so charismatic and the character's already so interesting. I don't really think you need it. I don't need that. I already believe he's like, you know, determined and smart. And normally what they're doing in this episode is to kind of prove to you that the character can do these things. And I was kind of like, I don't really need this. Like, that was my thing. Again, of course, I like the characters and everything like that, but I never...
Yeah, but the plot really moved
forward. I was worried that they were going to move into the Raylan's on the run. Because I don't want I don't really want that.
Showed is that no matter how good... I would say his name wrong.
Quarles.
He still screwed up. It still didn't work. And now the people who are behind him...
have fired him.
Not only fired him, there's a chance that they're going to be coming after him, too.
That was interesting. That I did like.
And the little discussion between Raylan and the other bad guy from the previous year. The one who was painting the room.
Yeah.
See, this is happening because Libby took away my cell phone, so I don't have my cheat sheet with
me.
Duffy.
Right, Duffy.
That's a weird, yeah.
Okay, he's warning him about what's going to happen, and he's letting Raylan know I can't do anything. So there's a little something there going on.
Totally like
I think
that.
This was to show how he was going to be disenfranchised from the mafia. How no matter what he does, he is now sunk so deep that he's throwing pretty good crap at Raylan.
And none of it's sticking.
Here's the thing. Quarles is not as good as he thinks he is.
Right.
That's always been his problem. And his pride is going to be his downfall.
Well, right. And that was great when Quarles threw the gun on Max Perlich, who's supposed to be the son of the... And later the guy's like, that was badass. You know, does that thing ever lock up on you? Because remember, that's what he always says. Like, yeah. I'm always taking a chance. That's why I always oil it or whatever. That was pretty... Like, there's... Of course, because it's justified. I love the show. But honestly, in general, when I watch the shows, I'm always like, I hope Walking Dead's okay. I'm sure Justified will be great. Honestly, this week I was more satisfied with Walking Dead, which is weird because I love Justified.
But there was also the sheriff issue. You know, you've got the guy, and I thought at first maybe Boyd did a little something about blowing up his car, and then it turns out it was just part of the
shtick.
Oh, it was
that guy. And he did the bomb early or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, what's going to happen now? Because between him and the other guy who is up for sheriff. So I think right now we've got where they're planting a lot of seeds.
I think you're right.
And these seeds are going to come back probably in about four episodes.
Episodes of the season? Like 13?
Yeah.
13 episodes per season.
Okay, so we're like halfway.
Yeah. Okay.
I have to know, this is directed toward the women in the room and out there in TV land.
Yes, he's hot. Okay, next.
What is the question?
He's a good looking guy.
Who are we talking about?
To, Tim Oliphant.
Oh.
I think he's a good-looking guy, but I have female friends who are like, woo!
Yes.
It's like, the
well,
way
he's also he's good-looking, and he's also very charismatic. So
he doesn't quite do it for me. I think he's good-looking, too, but he doesn't do it for me.
Oh, but I've got friends who
I didn't
like,
say, I just said, I just said, he's a good-looking man. He just doesn't
like,
do it for
me.
Like,
to me, and we discussed this last week, to me, I feel like the actor who plays Boyd is more, I think, attractive because he's so charismatic. Whereas Timothy Olyphant is charismatic, and I could say, yeah, I mean, he's a good-looking guy.
I think like, what you're mixing up, and you may need to go back to the ladies, is do you mean the actor, or do you mean the character he's playing? Because...
They mean the actor.
Okay, well, yeah, he is hot. but I would say that I prefer him in the character because of the way he walks, the way he talks, the lovely tush. There's just certain things that, and yet this is a show that doesn't show, you know, men,
body
you know,
parts.
But
yeah.
doesn't show body parts and stuff, which is interesting.
So to use the Seinfeld term, he's sponge-worthy.
What?
I don't know that.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
If you know Seinfeld.
Well,
you know.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's move on. So
Southland.
Before we go rambling about who's hot and who's not, it becomes a totally different podcast. All right. Next up, let's talk about Southland. Peter?
Well, for me, you had called me and said, oh, you know, because I've been trying to catch up on season 3, and she was like, oh, just so you know, the Ben character has some stuff going on in this that you might not understand if you haven't seen season 3. And I watched a little of season 3, but I was like, oh, whatever, I'll watch it. And I had no idea. And I was like, why is he freaking out about this pimp thing? What's going on? I was like, was his mother a prostitute? What's because you said it's connected. I was like, what's up with this? Like, but I mean, I still... Of course, like the episode and everything, but then the next episode of season 3 I watched was the one that explained it. So I should have reversed. I watched
now,
that because yeah,
when I watch it, it's a really good episode, but it's one of the few times where the back history of the character is very important. And I was like, Peter's going to watch this and have no idea what's
going
on.
They never do previous
no, no, either. No, and they because they just like left. If you didn't watch before, you really didn't know why he was literally. He just took that pimp and beat the crap
yeah.
out of him.
Crap out of that guy.
But I'm not.
And they left his car there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Duh.
Okay. For those of us, because that is the thing about the show. It's like the cop who's gay. It's been mentioned once before. It got mentioned a second time, and they never talk about it. I mean, it's that kind of a show where. And
like,
what
yeah.
did I miss? Because I picked up on.
See,
on
like Peter's watching the show,
and
he doesn't know what
year.
Cop we're talking about.
Wait. This episode had to do with a gay cop?
No.
One of the main characters is gay, but if you don't watch the whole series, you don't know it because they only mention it like
the
twice.
The partner, the big guy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. I think I did know that.
Because they said it.
Yes,
with...
it was in another episode where
John.
the gay kid, and he's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
he's like, are you just saying that? He's like, no, yes, you're right.
And my question, did you think he was just saying that, or did you think he was telling the truth?
I wasn't sure.
But see, that's
yeah.
the thing.
See if you watch the show.
And they only showed it like, they had like maybe one episode in season 1 where they actually show him with a guy.
And
they only showed him getting out of bed and there's a guy in the bed and that's it.
They showed him frequenting gay bars in season 1.
Yeah, they did, but you didn't know it was a gay bar until later.
In the premiere, Lucy Liu's like, he's like, well, why did you pick me? And he says something like, Lucy Liu says something like, I heard that you wouldn't give me a hard time. So that's kind of implying
I didn't think so.
Nah.
No, it's because he never
gives
was
anybody.
On,
yeah,
no,
he just doesn't
no,
give
she means hitting on me.
No, she meant giving her a hard time about
the video
and all
thing.
That stuff. That's what she's talking about.
Where she got her ass kicked. Because that's the kind of guy he is. That's been in the previous seasons that he's that kind of guy. But, okay, throwing back. All right, I've watched last year and this year, and I'm going backwards a little at a time. Okay, so tell me, what about Ben in his history made him go off? I thought he just went off because his partner is the same kind of guy. He went off on the gangsters that time.
Yeah, well, his partner, his issue with the gangsters is gangsters killed his partner. That's
right.
why he goes
right.
off on gangsters.
Which I understand.
Ben's
wait,
issue,
what?
Yeah,
the part
2 years
Ben's
ago.
Ben's partner, the guy it. That we said is that's always crying, is kind of like a baby. That guy, Ben's partner, his partner. You're blanking.
From
the guy
who's got a kid.
Sean Hatozzi.
Yes.
You're talking season 4 partner.
Yes.
He's the one with the kid.
Yes.
So this is what happens when you watch the seasons concurrently. But, he's always is beating up on gangsters and giving them a hard time.
Yes,
it's because
does.
His former partner got killed by a gangster. So that's what his issue is. But Ben's issue is that his mom, when he was growing up, his mom would have different boyfriends all the time, and one of the ones that lived with him for a while used to beat the crap out of her and beat the crap out of him. So he was so that's part of why he became a cop, so that would never happen to him again.
And so in the episode I had just seen, he meets up with him and everything. So it would have made more sense if I watched that and then watched this week's episode.
And then it would have all flowed.
Yeah.
But other than the Ben thing and beating the crap out of pimps, what else happened? Oh, it was the guy. Oh,
the thing with the baby, the kids, the kidnapping. Well, they thought it was a kidnapping at first.
Oh, and then the kids actually
run. Where the housekeeper is murdered, and they think the dad did it, and it turns out the dad did have an affair, but it was just a random
thing, right?
Yeah, so it was just some.
And they end up finding, they find the kids in the cereal.
I just have a bad feeling that Lydia is not going to keep that baby to term. Just because she's not telling anybody.
She's not going to tell anybody until she has no choice. When she's like maybe 6-7 months pregnant.
Okay, I think it's going to be earlier than that.
They're going to do the gain some weight, huh, Lydia?
They already have. Her partner already has.
Her partner already knows.
Oh, yeah. But he's been throwing that stuff out.
I like it.
But what's going to happen is, because once that happens, her character will be deathbound, and that'll be the end of that.
Hopefully that'll be the end of this set of seasons.
I think, if anything, I think she's going to give the kid up for adoption.
We're going to... And so, thumbs up, Southland?
Yes.
Absolutely, well, yeah, yes.
Next up is Psych, and I have to say, the only thing that was really good about Psych was Bill Shatner showing up at the end.
It was their take on The Shining.
It was a bad take on The Shining.
It was directed by, I think, James Rodet. Yeah, it wasn't very good.
No. I was like, oh, this is The Shining with the kid on the bike. Okay, that's all
rat
we need.
Rat.
Yeah, and then the kid even did that, and it was just like, really? Okay. Yeah, it didn't bring anything original to it, and I like Lassie. So, generally speaking, I would like him, except that he was crazy, and him being crazy, not that interesting, and, yeah, no, and they got in their Ghostbuster gear, that was...
And if you didn't figure out that Sarah Rue is the bad girl, shame on you.
The second she comes in with the freaking gift basket the size of a state...
Seriously.
I was like, oh, she puts... At first, actually, I thought she put something in the gift basket, that he ate something that was in there, but it was like, no, she planted something in his air vent or whatever, She was obviously the guilty one. There was no mystery. It was just blah. William Shatner showing up at the end. Good. That was pretty amusing. He's like, I came back from Tanzania. Where did he come from? It was like something crazy that he just came back in the country. Because he's like, you texted me a week ago that you wanted to ask me something. He was like, yes, I was thinking of asking your daughter for her hand in marriage. But I totally changed my mind. So never mind. Like, what? Like, all that. But Bill Shatner was like, make me a sandwich. Don't put in his, like, I went with pickles. Pickles was a good idea. Like, just, he was talking so fast that it was just great. Like, that was a really great 5-minute appearance. Like, he was literally only in at the end, but that was the best thing.
I'm sure it cost him a fortune, too.
I know. Next. That's all we need to say about Psych. Nothing else. Next up, we're going to talk about happy endings. And when I say we, I mean people other than me.
I have discovered this show thanks to some of my students recommending it. I really like it, although this week's show, half of it was amazing, the other half was meh.
That's about right. I would agree.
They did a really funny gag where Dave and Alex, the two of the people in the sextet, like too many sitcoms, the inciting incident of the series is a bride leaving the guy at the altar.
Have to explain the show. Just
so basically, the two characters.
This is important.
So the two characters slept together.
Yeah,
because, and they haven't in a long time.
Because at the end of the previous episode, they end up in bed together, and so for him, it's like, how do we handle this? And then she's pretending it didn't happen, and what it turns out is she and her sister have this whole Inception-worthy conspiracy.
Yeah, she even takes a top and spins the top. It has begun, you know. Like,
she crumps through the entire commercial break.
Oh, it was great! Because when you come back, yeah, she's still crumping. She's still crumping. Yeah, that is pretty great, yeah.
But the links to which, and evidently it's something the women in their family do all the time.
Oh, it's great, because they're showing back in World War One or something
World
like that.
World War One to the Cossacks.
Yeah, going to invade, and they're like, but the thing is, you already invaded last week. And worked for grandma or whatever. Yeah. Right.
But she's gone through all this elaborate, you know, she plants a popcorn husk in her husband's mouth.
Right.
She rents this video.
Well, because he's like, well, if I had ordered Thai food, I would have used the chinchilla blanket and there'd be stuff on my my sweat, which he names Karen. He's like, you named your sweat's Karen? I name what I name. and then, of course, she put that on there.
She planted that, so the husk, the video rental, but when he returns the video, because
that was Alicia Cuthbert.
Right.
She didn't do it right. Because they're like, oh, this was rented today. And they're like, aha! Because it should have been, like, the day, you know, they should have backed it. Because, like, the Thai receipt, she actually was like, I figured out what paper they used, and I redid it, put the tip on and everything, put it in your wallet. Like, No, so that part was great. The other part is two characters I like, Max and Penny, are doing this race against these annoying people they don't like, and it's something like it's a movies in Chicago, which a lot of it is John Hughes. And they have a cameo by the valet guy and Ferris Bueller. And there's moments in there, but that sounded like comedy gold, and it's just okay.
It did not
like
play
it sounded
well.
Like, oh, this is going to be so funny, but luckily the main thing is great. So
one thumb up, one thumb down.
But I mean, I just really like Happy Days. So
all right, next up, another comedy, Big Bang, and this week's episode was Sheldon. It's girlfriend spending time with girlfriend versus gaming.
Sheldon being a bad boyfriend.
Right. Well, what? I mean, who thought that was going to happen?
Well, but the thing is, when Amy says he's such a good boyfriend,
I have to say though, once again, I do appreciate that whoever deals in the production of Big Bang Theory, they always have games that I actually play. Like once Sheldon was just hanging out, and he's like, oh, I'm at the saloon. He's playing Red Dead Redemption. So this time they're playing Star Wars The Old Republic, which is a very big game right now. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I really like that about Big Bang Theory, that they're always like,
have you ever doubted that there are real geeks for
that
show?
But I haven't liked Big Bang in a while recently, but actually I like this one. I thought it was
girls versus guys. It was like the guys are like, we want to be back the way we were in the beginning where they call the police on us because of the smell. Like it's not because of the party.
No, not the smell from the party. Cause they thought they were dead.
And then later when it comes out that each one of them is like theoretically whipped, they have the whip app.
Right.
And of course, Oh, I'm sure there is. But isn't the first time, doesn't he think it's a compliment?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's like, I'm as smart as a whip.
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
I like the way that poor Raj, this was his idea to have guys night.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's the only one without a woman. And here they're all being pulled apart by their women, and to the point where... The girlfriend is actually there. What's his face? His girlfriend is playing with them, going ping ping, because she doesn't get the concept.
Bernadette,
because you're supposed to be shooting them in the game, not in real life with your fingers. And yet she's allowed to be there. And
the guys do not like it.
Doesn't Raj say, no matter what, even if I get a girlfriend now, it's after he already got a girlfriend?
After Sheldon.
After Sheldon Cooper.
But he still had sex before Sheldon, so you know.
Sheldon still has not had sex. That's
no.
True.
So, I mean, overall, I thought it was adorable. I give it an 8 out of 10. I still, you know, I'm still not thrilled completely, but I give it an 8 out of 10.
That's about right.
And I feel so sorry for Raj.
I thought it was fun that Raj gives the big, you know, when Penny's spending so much time trying to coach Amy on how to have the big diva moment.
And then Raj does it. He goes, that's how you do it.
Yeah, that is great. Yeah, that's how you do a diva moment. Right? Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
So, thumbs up.
Yes.
Yeah. Next up is 30 Rock.
Allison, you watch 30 Rock?
No, sorry.
Actually, this season's not that great anyway. Although they did bring back that actress I liked.
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah, I like her. So she was great, okay. But
the subplot was subsequent.
Yeah, I know.
All the stuff with Jack I thought was pretty good. I thought the Jack stuff was good. With his arch nemesis being a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah, I do like her.
And going
to the prep school and all that. I was like, oh, that's kind of funny.
He's like, I figured it out. And then he goes, no, wait, she tricked me. I figured it out.
And then also he's got the Pink Panther Kato. He's like, not right now. Like, I know you're supposed to attack me when I'm not ready. I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. But I would agree, still, 30 Rock just hasn't...
It's a shadow of its
former
self.
Yeah, it's just
self.
Not... And also, I don't know if, once again, Kenneth's new job, like what we were just talking about, Happy Endings, sounds like comedy gold, but it's not really. It sounds like a good idea, like, oh, because he's going to censor everything, but it's like, meh, it's not really.
And then
funny,
him crying in the bathroom.
That was stupid. And the thing at the end where he's censoring
Tracy's stand
on the fly.
And it's, you know, it was funny the first couple of beeps, but afterwards, no. I think I agree with you guys that it went from a show that I really loved and the writing was fantastic to this year, Jack is not really good.
Put the dog down.
I still like Jack.
Yeah.
I think if you stick Jack and Liz in a room, I'm happy.
Yeah.
But they haven't been doing that recently.
Yet, mind you, I'm still going to watch it.
Next up is Person of Interest.
Well, you know, this was one of their filler episodes, pretty much. I mean, they tried to tie it in with the arc stuff by bringing... the mafia guy back in. But well, you know, like,
yeah,
I mean,
Elias was there.
It was you know, chasing babies around town, and
and you mean that literally, which is funny.
Quite literally.
Yeah, it was.
And I mean, you know, this the whole thing of the comic image of seeing him with the baby, you know, the tied to the front of him and walking around town was like, you know, amusing for about.
How about the baby playing with the grenade?
I think the baby playing with the grenade was
the
best part.
You know, and all of this, yes, it's not a baby free zone. Yeah,
that was
not a baby safe zone.
That was hilarious. Wait, I just have to comment on the baby and the grenade in that. When you see the baby playing with the grenade and both of them are like, okay, they're trying to like get the baby to put the grenade down calmly. And I was like, how are you going to talk a baby down with putting down a grenade? It's a baby.
Just grab
the freaking grenade. Right.
Hand.
That was, and so.
6 months old.
Right. So that was hilarious. And then he tries to make it better. He was like, well, it's just a tear gas grenade. And like, that doesn't make it better.
It's not like it's serious or anything.
No. And it's like...
It's just, you know, it's filled with all kinds of things. Like, I mean, I couldn't believe when they were ambushed and had the baby stolen out from under them. It was one of those moments that just made me look at the TV and just kind of just cluck my tongue and go, you just suck at being an ex-CIA super assassin, you know? I really do.
It was amusing. It was like their attempt at... This is as close as they're going to get to comedy for this show. And I was amused. I did think it was funny, and they did look like a weird, bizarre, like, gay couple with the baby between them. It was a weird thing. I was like, are they doing that on purpose? Like, but it was fun. I thought the episode was fun. You had Elias in there to throw it at the end, but the actual one big thing actually did happen at the end, which was the cop.
Which was Carter saying, yeah. I can't do this anymore.
Right, because another cop got killed.
Until she does it again next week.
Well, I know. She's not really done, but she's... They're going to have to do something to convince her to help them again.
Did the guy die? Or
I don't know if they didn't tell us. Like, I don't know.
The thing is, though, we don't know what's going to happen to the, you know, Elias' dad.
Well, he's going to probably torture him to death is my guess. So I don't see him coming back anytime soon. But it is kind of arc-ish in that they did move some stuff forward while they were still kind of being funny. So that's about all I got to say about that. All right, next up, apparently I will be talking about this alone yet again, which is The Mentalist. And the only reason, as you guys sigh, it was a double episode thing. They tried to put The Mentalist on Friday to see what would happen because the ratings on Thursday, it's just really good ratings on Thursday. And then they moved it off to Friday. The only problem is I don't think they really told anybody that it was moving on Friday. Like, it was a weird...
new episode?
Yeah, they put a new episode on Friday, and it was bizarre because the only reason I got it is because my TiVo was like, oh, there's a new episode, so we caught it. But it got like 11 million viewers on Friday, which is what... They said it was like triple what The Gifted Man was getting, but it's lower than what it normally gets on Thursday. But anyway, let me get back to what I was going to say, which is... this week's episode of The Mentalist, I'm only going to talk about the Thursday one because that was the ARC episode. And this was a very much a transitional one where they basically are pushing Jane into a corner. Like, he started the whole thing by manipulating a situation, lying to the FBI, and now they think... What's interesting is they now his boss's boss and the FBI think he's a psychopath, which... The thing that's funny about his character is not entirely incorrect because I can see why they think he's a psychopath because he only cares about a very specific number of people. If you do not fit in that group of people that he cares about, he does have psycho-ish, pathic behavior towards other people. So I can see it, which actually I think kind of makes his character sort of interesting because you never know what he's going to do. But... Now they're all watching him and they're like, we're going to bring him down. And I was like, he hasn't done anything. But they think that he's cooperating with another serial killer, which is completely insane. But they don't know him well enough to know that he wouldn't do that. So that's the thing that's strange.
After all these seasons?
Well, what he did this season, he did something very wrong. I'm trying not to give over spoilers for the people I'm hoping will watch the show.
I watched half the pilot the other day. And there's this weird smiley face. Is that the serial killer?
Yeah, that's Red John.
That's
not the...
That's Red John.
That's Red John. That is the... He is Moriarty. So Think of Jane as the Sherlock Holmes character, and then okay. Moriarty is Red John.
Actually, it's pretty entertaining so far.
That's what I'm saying. It's an entertaining show. And but the arc that they have is a Red John arc. And part of that arc is all the stuff that's going on right now. And you can see from this episode that there are these forces that are... He started it, but it's all these domino effects are happening. And this episode really showed how those domino effects are working. And he's basically going to be in really big trouble by the time we get to the finale, which is going to be awesome to see how he's going to figure out how to get out of it. Because usually...
That's the cliffhanger.
That's going to be...
Find out until the next season.
Thanks. Anyway, but it was a really good episode. I was really entertained, and I like the woman that they have as the FBI agent. I can't think of her name. She's Darcy on the show, but she's from The Shield. So,
was she the wife on
The Shield? Is Robin Tooney still on it?
Yeah, she's the main character.
He's the female.
Oh, okay.
So they're like partners. So, yes.
There's a lot of shows like this. Yeah. Castle, Bones.
Yes.
Like where...
Yes, I agree. But this one, I like it better, actually.
You like her in Castle?
Yes.
Whoa.
It's true. I think, well, mainly because Castle, I always figure out who the killer is in 5 minutes.
Well, Castle's not about the whodunit, it's about the, come have fun with us.
Right, that's true, but this show is...
Do you like Simon Baker more than Nathan Fillion?
Don't ask me those kind of questions.
I'm asking you that question.
No, I cannot answer that question.
You know, because I really like Southland now, I have to give Olivia credit that I am inching closer to...
Finish watching The Pilot.
Weird if I end up watching The Mentalist and not Spartacus, which is
Spartacus is a great story, but I think The Mentalist is really entertaining. Next up is the second episode of Awake.
I'm enjoying it. I think, you know, it's would be kind of hard to keep up with their opening episode, but I think that they did a good job of still keeping it interesting and keeping it going. I think that they, I like the way that they've introduced this new element of, you know, the mystery behind the crash itself, that it's more than just an accident, and it might be key to finding out why he's stuck in these two worlds, you know, it might be that key element. So I enjoyed it. I thought the performances were good. I thought maybe the mysteries themselves, in terms of the cases he was working on, were kind of weak.
I agree.
But then I don't think that that's really the thrust of the show. I think it's the characters themselves and the mystery of, you know, why he's stuck in these two worlds. Well, so, and I thought that was still interesting.
Go ahead.
Well, what they talked about in the first episode is that pieces of one mystery on one side or one case helps him with the other case and vice
right.
versa.
Right.
Well,
right.
I think what happened here is that you had the one verse where it helped him clear the murder mystery of the doctor, but what it did in the verse where we see that there's a question about how the accident happened, all it did was give him people to check up on, and that freaked out the captain and the people mm-hmm. who are behind the captain. So that where you would think, oh, well, the death of the doctor really didn't help close the case of the homeless guy. What it's done is shown that the case of the homeless guy may have something to do with that accident. So
right.
it shows
but
us that we're not...
The guy, in other yeah. words, didn't have anything to do with the homeless guy at all. But... Right.
The fact that he's...
I think it's interesting that the two shrinks have dueling perspectives about it.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of interesting.
The Cherry Jones.
This is all like happy sunshine.
Right, right.
Which I can't remember. They've color-coded the one world is kind of like sunshine
one,
world. And
one one's
like,
red, the red bracelet and the green bracelet.
Yeah.
But also the film is a little different.
Yeah. One world is, you know, brightly saturated. The other one's desaturated.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I got to say, Allison, I am disappointed. I wanted TV snob Allison for this one. Like, I can't believe you're telling
me. Jason Isaacs.
I could have told you. That's her weakness.
No, I have no problem with Jason Isaacs.
No, but that's her weakness.
Oh, but I mean, Jason Isaacs is fine. And
Nick Kryptonite, Jason Isaacs.
And I, in general, like the episode. But that thing you're talking about, I mean, that's so cliche to have the two characters. In fact, that one woman from ER was just on The Event, which was another conspiracy lady.
Yes.
Like, she's literally on a bench talking to someone privately about, does he know, you know, he's going to find out that this wasn't just an accident. I'm like, oh, come on.
like, does he know about the event?
I can't believe Allison.
And if you want to talk about cliches, we have the doctor who was killed, the fertility doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Fertilizing, like, you know,
but Allison, that
community of people.
I swear, you can't
get more cliche than that.
Right, so, but wait, so Allison, you were okay with that cheesy bench scene at the end? I'm just surprised. I thought that, I rolled my eyes at that.
It's, well, like I said, it stars Jason Isaacs.
That scene is not what Jason Isaacs is.
You know what it felt like? That scene felt like it was tagged on due to a network note.
Maybe, yeah.
Because
yeah. It really feels so, like so.
You
like,
could tell there was a little something going on with the police captain, but man.
That, they felt like an explanation of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they really needed to spell it out for us.
Have you ever seen North by Northwest?
Yeah.
Where there's I do too. But there's a point in the movie where everything is explained or like. You know, Act Two of the Matrix, where everything's explained. That's what that felt
it
like.
It did.
Well, you know what I think it is? I think it's because there's a fear because things like flash forward.
The event.
You have to put your stuff on the board.
So little was explained in the beginning, and they dragged so much out, and people got sick and tired of waiting.
Yeah.
That they felt that they needed to throw a bone.
And that's fine. But that's. And I think I'm fine with that, mainly because I'm not sure if this conspiracy, because you think the conspiracy has to do with why he's seeing both universes,
yes.
But
yes.
I don't know if that's necessarily it. I think that
so
they're necessary.
Well, just
it
a
could
dirty
be
cop thing?
No, it could be they set him up to be killed, and it
oh, yeah.
and they killed his family instead.
Well,
I think that was a mistake,
and that's if this is even the real version.
Right? I think
that's true too.
I thought what was cool in that park bench scene, as clumsily executed as it was.
You like the park bench scene?
I thought what was interesting is killing his whole
family. Yeah, they
which
said
would lead
that.
Me to believe
that,
that
both
that,
of them are dead.
Yes, that they're that the park bench is in real world, and that neither of what he's living in is a real reality.
Well, you know what? Although I gotta say, there are certain things that make me feel like all of these realities are real in some way, because unlike the first episode, unlike the pilot episode, there were scenes, and this would not be the case if everything was happening strictly in his mind, there were scenes like the park bench and like scenes that happened just with the motorcycle where he was not involved.
Right.
He was
yeah,
not a character
true.
In the scene. And if he's just dreaming this,
that's true. The
we
mom
would not have scenes
the
like
friend
that.
With the
and that was also something that intrigued me about this episode.
Yeah, that's how he found out that his son had a motorcycle because
right.
his wife went and found out the information on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I was like, how
and
is he gonna...
And things that he had nothing to do with.
Right.
Well, good point.
I think the thing that works about the show, aside from Jason Isaacs, is the emotional impact of the story. And I find it fascinating...
Yeah.
That they've weighted the emotional impact toward the father-son side versus
right.
the husband-wife side.
I agree, and mainly because when they had that scene when him watching his son ride the bike, I was like, oh, like I really felt it, and I felt like that was the end of the episode. I didn't need the park bench
yes.
thing at all because I was really moved by everything else that had happened in the episode. And for a show that's only on the second episode that can do that, I'm impressed.
I would agree, and when I called Libya right after I had seen the second episode. And so to me, the park bench was the thing that I was really annoyed with. But
and,
like,
and that's
but,
what you led with.
Right, and that's why I love it. But beyond that, no, it's a good episode and I'm still in. But man, that, you know, the park bench scene really ruined it.
I admit that it's kind of cheesy, but I just have this feeling that what was done to him and his ability to find out the mystery behind it is not ultimately going to be resolved until like the series ends, and it will have something to do with why he's stuck the way he's
right.
stuck.
All right, let's
it's the one-armed man.
let's wrap that up. Last thing we're going to talk about this week is Spartacus and
vengeance.
Thank you. The thing that was really interesting is it was mainly about the whole the slaves basically. They swell their ranks, but they swell their ranks with people who don't speak the same language that they do, that have different loyalties and different cultures than theirs, and there's a lot of mistrust going on, and...
For good reason.
Well, yeah, for good reason, and it's just like, no one has... They just freed these guys, they don't know who they are, they don't know what kind of people they are, and they just added these people to their family, and of course it causes chaos... And ew, the cutting off of that dude's face.
Well, you know.
Oh my god!
just added to a whole new level of ew.
And then his brain just kind of slid right out the front.
I had to look away. Let me just say, though, but I thought it was interesting that Aggron, because they had given you points in the episode to mistrust his intentions.
But he was very much like...
He's on board. Even though he and Crixus have differences, when he saw Crixus's woman being attacked, he came to her rescue.
Right. He's a good person. Good, yeah. You know, he's a good person. He doesn't necessarily... Just because he doesn't like Crixus doesn't make him not a good person.
That's correct.
So this really showed that he's a good person and Spartacus can trust him. Though what was really weird, like after he cut the dude's face off, all the other Germans were like, "You have defeated our greatest warrior. We follow you." Like, he was... It's funny because he gave this huge speech like, "Well, if you can't follow our rules, you're just going to have to get out of here or I'm going to kill you too." And they were just like, "You are now our king." I was like, "What is this, Conan?" You know, it's like, it's pretty good.
They're
like,
portraying them as barbaric. And
I have to give Gannicus big time props.
Okay, let's just rewind a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Let's just rewind a little bit. Poor Lucretia.
Oh, my.
She gives all this great manipulative advice and nobody does what she tells them to do.
That's true. Like, for the whole season. The whole season, she's been trying to manipulate people.
And they're like, "I'm going to do my own thing."
It is just not working for her.
That was that great moment when she tells Alethea what she's going to do. And I was like, why would you tell Alethea that? Like,
seriously,
I was like, are you crazy?
I thought Alethea was going to knock her out.
Oh, I did too.
I know.
She did too, for a second. But what's great, she tells Gannicus, "I'm going to get rid of the guards. You sneak in. You kill Glaber." And then blah, blah, blah. But he knew what would happen. He was like, okay. He was like, okay, so if I kill Glaber, that means you're going to kill me. I was like, that's a bad plan. So he goes and does something else entirely.
Really different.
And it was awesome.
It was very awesome.
Oh, man. I was like, I would have said that Gannicus was the dumbest of them.
He's not stupid.
Especially
when he's
self-destructive.
He's self-destructive, but when he stops drinking...
riddled with guilt, but he's not stupid by any means.
That was made of awesome. And, oh, those guys trying to get Animaeus to go sing and drink wine with them. I was like,
that was just kind of creepy.
That was just weird, because I was like, Animaeus is like their Spock. Like, he is the super stoic guy, and them trying to get him to sing and dance with him, I was like, no, that's really uncomfortable right now.
I think somebody wanted to indulge a chocolate fantasy.
But it was a good episode. I mean, everything moved forward. We've got swelling of the ranks of really big, buff German guys, and I'm like, all right, let's go fight some Romans now. So,
and of course, I love the misdirection, the directing of the episode, where you think it's Gannicus coming in to slay Glaber, and it's Sepia going in to have a little...
Instead, he attacks the wagon train.
Right. Yeah. Well, the only thing is, I knew that Glaber couldn't die this early, because
you gotta have a villain.
Yeah, and I was like, we got four or five episodes left. I was like, he's not dead.
Also, historically, if you know what's going on, you knew that Gannicus wasn't going to end up dead either.
Right.
Because both he and Crixus end up being two of Spartacus's most successful generals.
Right.
So, you know, they've got a long ways to go together.
So I didn't know that specifically, but I was just from the show. I was like, okay, he's not going to die.
Spoiler alert. Although we're taking liberties with history, some of these people did exist.
All right. So, two thumbs up. I think it's like four or five episodes in a row that have just been fantastic.
Yeah.
They've been on the build.
Yeah, it's been great.
Big thumbs up.
All right. So, that's it for this week. If you have some feedback, tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. GetThePointRadio.com, KryptonRadio.com, Stitcher.com,
and Weedonopolis.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.